ushers, thank you so much. You all find you somewhere to sit down and find you a place that you can enjoy the rest of what remains this worship Sunday. Amen. Would you pray with me, Lord? God, again, we are thankful that you've given us this day. Now, God, again, would you open our eyes and unstop our ears? Would you massage our hearts that we will be better suited for the gospel? The writer declared that it is by the foolishness of preaching that we will be saved. So God, save us today. Don't let us get this close and miss it. Don't let us die in our sins. We confess that we need you. And Lord, only you can do it. We can't do it ourselves. You said that in the day that we hear your voice, we'd be wise if we didn't harden our hearts. But if we would be receptive to you, you would come in and you change us from the earthly to the eternal. From those who will expire to those who will be eternal and forever. So God, we invite you in. Preach to us. Save us. Please, God, do that for us today. Because we don't know the day nor the hour that you're going to come. And we don't want you, Lord, to come. And that we're not ready. Please save us today. And God, I pray that you would again employ me that I might do what you've assigned me to do. I can help somebody, God. I know that I've also helped me. You give me preaching power and give me wisdom, intellect. That God, what we have shared in private can now go public. And that the people's ears would perk up, their hearts would beat faster. And we would indeed, Lord, run on and see what the end is going to be. We can be encouraged along this journey. Finish with a flurry. Oh God, that we would remain steadfast and unmovable. Hear our prayer in the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's give God some praise together. Amen. Come on. Come on and bless the Lord. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Thank you. That right good praise right there. Y'all looked up and saw the clock and said, well, it can't be much longer. Amen. Grab your Bibles. I want to ask you to go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, for those of us who've been around the church for a while, we know that Psalm 51 is a psalm of David, and it is rich with transition, and it's rich with the temperament of a man who is somewhat broken, But how many know that no matter how broke you are, you ain't never too broke that God can't fix you? Amen. I wish I had some honest people. No matter how broke you are, no matter how busted up you are, God ain't never said, ain't nothing else we can do with this. Amen. And some of us remember being on the brink of that kind of brokenness. But God said, I still got something for you. Amen. So Psalm 51 is familiar to those of us who've been around for a little while. Amen. Psalm 51, and I want to just one verse, really, and we're going to move right on in. Psalm 51 and verse 3. Psalm 51 and verse 3. Those of you who still have King James Version Bibles know it's going to read a little different, and I don't want you to think that because we have our New Living Translation that we don't relate to you as well. But in Psalm 51 at verse 3, it says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." In the New Living Translation Bible, it says, "I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night." God bless you. You can sit down for a few minutes. You'll help me with this the preaching moment, if you'll just kind of smile a little bit, because it's going to get tough through here in a few minutes. But if you can smile now, it would help. It would really help, because it's going to get a little tough. It'll get a little personal. Y'all don't mind if it get a little personal. Amen. Smile and look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, pastor is going to preach. I thought I had it beat." Amen. I thought I had it beat. For most of us, that realization comes on more than one occasion and more than once a week, and sometimes more than twice a day. There are things that we have struggled with that we thought we had it be. And here we go again. For some of us, it has been simple things. A little habit here, a little proclivity there, a vice, something that kind of nags at us. And if we can go one day, we give ourselves a little pat on the back. If we can make a week, we give ourselves another little pat on the back. And if we can add up a couple of weeks, then a month. And then it happens. There we go again. Some of us have tried to change our phone number, tried to change our address. We changed our email address. We stopped hanging with folk trying to get out from under that it. And all of us have an it. Whether we want to admit it or not, we may not lift up our hands for the next 15 minutes and say nothing, but all of us have something that we're trying to be. And listen. It doesn't have to be a real big thing. It doesn't have to be nothing major. Just something we really would like to just not do that, or not say that, or not go there, or not hang out with them. Because when we go there and we say that and we do that, it leaves us feeling some kind of way. And sometimes the more we try not to, the more we do. And God knows that when that happens to us, it makes us feel different about God. Not because God did anything, but some of us, when we hurt so bad, it's harder to say hallelujah. When we're wounded, worship is not the first thing on our agenda. Just as we have noticed in the course of life, there are some people that the more they mess up, the further they get from God. Because they feel unclean and unworthy, and it's difficult to sit in the presence of a holy God when you're tattered and stained and your mind keep playing tricks on you. And you thought you had it beat. Some of us can relate to David more honestly than some others of us. A whole lot of us sitting here not 2-3 feet from one another and don't want to look up right now. Don't want to say nothing. Don't you try and read my face. Don't try to get up in my psyche because you think you know something about me. You heard something about me and you remember stuff about me. Some of us walk into a church or walk into a store or walk into a schoolhouse or walk on the job and we look at folk and go, oh, that's the one. That's her. That's him. And because we know how fragile we are, we sometimes try to take the position of indifference and act like if I don't tell on you, you don't tell on me, it's going to make us better. But it ain't so. And so David reminds us that the reality is our sin is always right there. Amen. It's right in front of me. And as much as I have tried to elevate myself and I prayed more and I fasted and I got with a different crowd, every day of my life is still right there. It wakes me up at night. It bothers me. And let me help you along through here. Whenever you get to the point that your sin don't bother you, you really in trouble. Nudge your name and tell them, don't get in trouble like that. It ought to bother you because it is unholy. It's unrighteous. It's unlike God. Well, y'all show quiet. I told y'all I was going to get quiet. Told you to smile when you had the chance. Because based on the looks on some of y'all face, you're like, oh, Reverend, ain't you got none of that ice cream left? David said, I realized something. It's my fault. He said, I acknowledge. And let me see if I can help you along through here. If you can acknowledge it, you can start to work with it. Amen. And you can't act like it ain't there. You can't act like it doesn't bother you. You can't act like it doesn't still attract you. You can't act like it doesn't still turn you on and make you feel good. You've got to acknowledge that that's what it is. I got one witness. I got one person. Thank you. I appreciate you. Everybody else got fingernail duty. Acknowledge it. David is just right where we ought to be. And some of us think, Elizabeth, because we've been coming to church and singing on choirs and ushering and preaching and praying that we ain't got no problems. But the Bible says all of us got a problem. All of us. There is not one temptation that any of us have ever been exposed to or dealing with that everybody don't have. Everybody got something that gets to them. Everybody's got a little something that we try to keep from everybody else. It's a place that we go to escape. It's a place that we go to let our hair down. It's a place we go that we just wanna be ourselves for a little. We just got to deal with it. And because you're a Christian, don't mean it's gone nowhere. Everybody got a problem. Everybody got an it. And David said, well, you know, I guess I might as well deal with it. I might as well admit that even though I am who I am, it is still what it is. Amen, somebody. David is hiding. He has decided that the best thing me to do is just stay out of sight. How many of y'all tried that trick? Yeah, when you messed up, you figure, well, the best thing I can do is if I don't go nowhere and don't nobody see me, it ain't gonna be a big deal. You know, I'm just gonna stay. David is hiding from public view because his first level of getting it better. You can't face other people when you can't face yourself. Yeah. You gotta listen. Let me tell you something. David is king. That's him. He the king. And what's interesting is God still letting him be king. Y'all didn't catch that. David is still a king, still living in the palace, got everything going on, still got servants. They're still being who they are, and he's still who he is, and God is still who he is, but he's hiding. He won't come outside. He don't want to wash his face. He don't want to put on his robes. He just sitting around. He takes a shower. Clean up a little bit. Hiding, because he's thinking that if I don't go outside, if I don't expose myself any further, maybe, just maybe. But how many know that this ain't gonna work? It ain't never work, and it ain't gonna work. He has a problem that only God can remedy for him, and that's what you need to understand. You listen, you are still who you are. But the good news is God is still who he is. Y'all caught that. Thank you. Y'all starting to wake up a little bit. That's good. That's good, because when you have a problem, you do know who the problem solver is. What I love about God is, oh, that was high pitch. What I love about God is that when I mess up, he don't fire me. When I mess up, it doesn't surprise him. Whenever I jack it up, whenever I fall, whenever I stumble or trip, God still reminds me that he's God. David is sitting there living in a castle where he can't even look in the mirror. Anybody ever felt that bad that you didn't want to look at yourself? Nobody want to raise their hand, but right. I mean, when you really felt that bad, you know, that's when it is getting personal. You sit over in the corner and you don't turn the lights on, and you don't want to go in public. You just want to kind of sit there and really think about it. How many of y'all remember doing that to your children? How many of y'all had that done to you? Whenever you messed up, that's what they tell you. You just gonna sit down and think about it. It ain't like I'm gonna forget. And if you keep running your mouth, I know I'm not gonna forget. You couldn't say that to your parents, but that's what you wanted to say. How many of you ever had that happen to you? You get in trouble, and every time the phone ring, your mama get on the phone. Jerry, I guess what so-and-so done today? Little Miss Groney. You're sitting there like, you got to tell everybody. Grandma come over to the hospital. Go in there and ask her what she did. You going to mess up the thing with me and grandmama too? He said, listen, I got to acknowledge I got a problem. First thing, let me see if I can help you here. We're not going to keep you too much longer, but let me help you to realize that even though you thought you had it beat, there's a remedy for you. There's a remedy. First of all, you got to stop fooling yourself. You got to stop fooling yourself. Just because you go to church don't mean you don't like Hennessy no more. Mm-mm. Just because you go to church don't mean you don't want to smoke weed no more. It don't. Coming down the aisle don't take all that stuff out of you.
you steal, you're going to still want to steal. I know the Bible says, he who steals, let him steal no more. But you ain't ready for that part yet. Because stealing, that's how you pay your bills. Drinking, that's how you chill out with your friends. How many of you ever had people come to your house? You've been sitting there all day long, minding your business, doing a fine job of living high and holy unto the Lord, and your friends stop by and say, child, let's throw down. And your first defense is, no, now y'all gone now, because y'all know I'm trying to get this church thing right. Ain't going to hurt nobody. Just one little old drink. Come on, where you at? Oh, ain't nobody want to talk to me now. Just one little drink, girl. We a little social thing. Oh, come on. You can just fire up one. Just one little hit. Ain't going to hurt you. You're trying to stop smoking. You're trying to stop drinking. You're trying to stop cussing. It's just a list of things that you've been acknowledging. You've been praying, Lord, if you just give me the strength. And bing, boom. Who is it? Girlfriend. What you want, girlfriend? We got some chicken and ribs, girl. You better come on down here. No, because I know what y'all want. Oh, girl, we ain't going to do nothing but eat a little few ribs. We ain't got nothing down there but soda. But that's until girlfriend two show up. The mix master. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't want to be real. You thought you had it made. You telling folk, girl, I ain't smoked in 6 weeks. I ain't had a drink. I ain't cussed nobody out. I ain't cheated on nobody. I ain't committed no adultery. And in the old church word, fornication, which is not the word, it's just fornication. You got a list of your good deeds until. How many ever laid next to what you thought you had beat after you said you wasn't going to lay there no more? How many of you woke up with that taste in your mouth that you said you didn't ever want to have no more? How many of us have fallen after being picked up by a holy and righteous God only to fall again? Nobody want to help me. I'm helping myself. Because the fact of the matter is, the first line of our defense is, you thought you were doing all right. Am I right about it? You thought you were doing just fine because you have had some time to have escaped for a season. But how many knows it ain't over because you think it's over? Listen, the devil is not going to let you go that easy. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Boy, you say, Reverend, you are all in my house, and I didn't invite you to come that close. But David said that, you know, I thought I was doing all right. Here's the situation. David is sitting in solitary, self-imposed confinement. Some of y'all do that. Some of y'all figure, well, Lord, before you get me, I'll get myself. How many of y'all ever punish yourself? I ain't going to do this. I'm just going to live right here. Let me clear this up 1 second here. I've got a malfunction happening, but I'll take care of it. There we are. We're fixed. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sit here because since I can't lose sight of it, I'm just going to close my eyes. And what we start doing is we start sitting around thinking, well, I'm all right because you done set yourself in a place called prison. Well, how many know you can't live there forever? How many ever say, you know, I was all right until? You still got to face your until. David sit there and there's a monkey on his back. And the monkey ain't going to get off his back until he gets back into the presence of God. One thing I can tell you about monkeys, they don't like being in the presence of God. You are sitting there and it's two annoying little letters from the alphabet that have met up with each other that won't let you go. It's just dogging you. It's wearing on your mind. It's called it. Everybody's got to deal with their it because it won't let you go. It won't let you forget. It will remind you. It's in the wind. It's on the television. It's on the phone call. You can be sitting there minding your business, trying to read your scripture, trying to pray, and it comes across your mind. How many ever been sitting up in church and had a crazy it thought? And you say to yourself, Lord, come on now, really? I'm sitting up here in church and my mind doesn't go on the other. Come on, I need some real witnesses here. You sitting up in church and you having this reminiscent idea of one of the sins that you sitting there going, well, you know what, Lord, Father. And folk don't know why you're doing that, but it's an it moment. Look at the name and say, I've had some it moments. Yeah, I'm sitting up here. He said, listen, I'm trying to get my praise on and I'm thinking about running across town for a hookup. Oh, y'all want to act funny. I'm just going to keep picking at it till you bleed. The reality is, David says, it's getting harder and harder with each passing and approaching moment for me to deal with it. See, y'all think, Pastor, it's just Bathsheba. No, it ain't just Bathsheba. I'm not talking about Bathsheba. I would have never called her name if y'all wouldn't have hollered it at me. The reality is, I'm just using David as a setup for situational circumstances that all of us got to deal with. Nudge your neighbor and say, oh yeah. That's why I've come to understand that some of us are starting to finally realize that we can't shake it. Listen, listen, let me tell you something. You might as well be honest with God and admit that you like it. Oh, now see, there y'all go. You try to sit in trying to be all holy and then, no, I don't like it no more. I prayed that taste out of my mouth. Then what you doing drinking again? I don't smoke. I gave up cigarettes. I came to the Lord. I left all that stuff behind. Yeah, you left it behind, but you keep circling around. A whole lot of us came to Jesus just as we were and still about like we was. Y'all don't talk to me. Don't listen, if I lock the door and start going through pocketbooks, who knows what I'm gonna find? Am I right about it? If I go out to your car and start searching, who knows what I'm going to find? Y'all getting real quiet now. Y'all don't want to talk to me now. All right, maybe I go to your house. Everybody got a little stash spot. See, y'all, no, Reverend, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank Jesus. No, listen, all of us are fighting. Fighting. We're fighting. Listen, you might not be fighting what I'm fighting, but I bet you fighting. And if you ain't fighting, you done gave in. How many of y'all in there prayed that Lord one more time prayer? Lord, this last time, I promise God, I just get down there and get back this time. I swear, God. Come on now. It will dog you until you face it. I know who you are. That's why Jesus gives us some insight too. We just about finished. Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. I know who you are. You stand here talking about you're going to fight for me and hang out with me and you ain't going to never give up on me. Satan tricking you. In fact, remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, before this night is over, rooster going to tell on you. He said, no, Lord, if all others should depart, I shall remain. He said, okay, we'll see. And what happened to Peter when it happened? He went into depression. He shook himself. He said, I ain't no good, man. I can't keep my own word. And you thought you were doing fine. Because the reality is, a whole lot of us are withdrawing rather than drawing. Did you get it? You're withdrawing rather than running from God. You need to run to God and say, Lord, listen, this is my problem right here. This is what I have to fight with all the time. And you know what I've learned? And y'all don't want to testify. Let me testify. I have learned that when I face it, I can face it. You get that? It's that simple. I don't have no long speech to God. I don't have to say, well, Lord, you know, I'm just trying to make 199. Yeah. No. I just learned that it is what I have to deal with. But I do know how to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Because let me tell you, ain't no need to see, we're about finished. You try to act like you don't enjoy it and you so sad and you so broken. No, that ain't how you feel. Boy, y'all sure looking all wrong. I don't understand you either. I'm just saying, pal, you know, I mean, sometime, you're going twice a week. Matter of fact, some of y'all got plans this afternoon to hook up, hang out, enjoy. Y'all don't want to talk to me? I'm going to talk to you. You can't shake it. You got a bad habit. But you got a God. You got a God. You listen. You have a God who loves you just like you are. That's why you're still alive. Some of y'all still slip sliding, dipping, tipping, creeping. Y'all don't talk to me. You got in the back of your mind, that's your favorite track in your car. Cause I creep, yeah. Nobody knows what I do. And that's you. Look, some of y'all already say, yeah, Reverend. Some of y'all head, you like, oh, Reverend. Church folk creep. Deacons creep. Preachers creep. Ushers creep. Nudge your name and say, I know you creep. This whole section right here in trouble. Everybody over here. My most senior saints over here, they good. Y'all, this whole section right here. Y'all just come on up. I'm just going to sprinkle you as you walk. He said, listen, Lord, I got up. He said, I thought I was fine. Second thing, we about this. Second thing is, he thought that time would heal his wounds. And that's how a lot of us think, well, if I don't do it for a while, or if I don't go there for a while, it's been 5 months, it's been 6 weeks. You thought time would heal the wound? No, sir. I heard somebody say, don't work like that. David thought that, listen, 9 months have gone by. 9 months, Deacon McKenzie. 9 months, David been hiding. He ain't called Bathsheba. He ain't sent no fly. He ain't talking to nobody. And here's what David did that some of us do. Some of us think because ain't nobody saying nothing that everything is already taken care of. No, no. First of all, you've been hiding. How are we going to say something? What we want to say, we can't say because we can't talk to you. You done changed your phone number. You don't talk to nobody on email, Instagram, Facebook. You done deleted your Twitter account. There's some stuff we like to say, but you hiding. And you thinking, well, after time, he'll forget. How many know that folk don't forget? They just keep it in reserve till they see you. David thought that if he hang out, if he hide for 9 months, we come. He thought that he could just kind of sit there and after a while it would go away. But nudge your neighbor, say ain't going nowhere. How many know Satan will wait on you as long as it takes? Am I right about it? But my friend Jess, she's all the way in the back. Jess will tell you. Meet in the parking lot because I'm running out of time. Just tell you, you're going to always be in recovery. You're going to always be in danger. Listen, because whatever you were doing, you did it more than one time because you liked it. You went through all that trouble to arrange and set up and change your address and rent a car and put on sunglasses and turn your hat backwards and put some extra weave in and take your fingernails off and you go first and then I'll come out later. You did all that. Why? Not because you didn't like it. You enjoyed it. You drove all the way to Bedford to the liquor store. So you thinking people in Lynchburg don't go to Bedford? Everybody who buying liquor on the low, go to Bedford. I'm going all the way to Amherst. Ain't nobody up here going to know me in Amherst. Are you serious? We go there too. Everybody in Amherst come to Lynchburg and everybody in Lynchburg go to Amherst.
The church people from Amherst are passing the church people from Lynchburg on 29. They think you going to church. You think they going to church. You going to church all right. And we going to have a good service when we get home. You like it. Time ain't healing nothing. Time conceals what God wants to reveal. That's why Nathan shows up. 9 months. And here comes Nathan. It ain't like Nathan couldn't have came a week earlier or 9 months or 8 months and 6 weeks. Nathan comes in because David thinks that time will conceal my problem. Look at another name and say, neighbor, I know you're on the edge. You're on that. Listen, you are no different than I am. I'm going to finish right here. Because nobody said nothing. You thought that meant you were cool? First of all, who going to say something to a king? Who going to walk up to them and go, yeah, I heard you had Uriah killed, slept with his wife, got her pregnant. You know what's going to happen to your head? You talk to the king like that? And some of y'all think, well, you know, Reverend, but, excuse me, some people know you. Some people know they can't come talk to you like that. Somebody walk in and say, yeah, I heard you still drinking, slap. Don't worry about what I do. Come on, where you at with your little feisty self? Don't be all up in mind. You know what's going to happen when people tell you what they know about you? You feel obligated to tell them what you know about them. That's why the Bible says that you who have no sin shouldn't walk around with rocks in your pocket. You can't, listen, look at them and say, you can't say nothing. David thought because nobody said nothing. But how many know that Nathan will show up? Yeah, Nathan gonna show up. And the fact of the matter is, you really need Nathan to show up. Here we go, we going home. Let me tell you what happens. When Nathan shows up, Nathan confronts him. Nathan counsels him. Nathan gives him some insight into the matter. But David is still stuck. No matter what Nathan said, no matter what Nathan did, David is still stuck. But what you have realized is being stuck alone is bad, but being stuck with God is good. Yeah, here we go. Watch this now. Because God does not withdraw one single promise out of David's life. God does not tell Nathan to tell David that effective tomorrow, you can't be on the choir no more. Effective next week, you can't usher no more. Effective immediately, you can't preach no more. God does not. All God wants is for David to admit that he didn't beat it. Y'all ain't feeling it. All God wants from you is for you to admit that you didn't beat it. That you need his help. You need him to be a very present help in the times of your struggle. You need God to get closer to you so the next time after the next time after the next time, you don't have to feel so bad. You don't have to miss 5 Sundays before you finally feel like you can go again. You don't have to get out of the choir. You don't have to get off the usher ministry. You don't have to get out of the church. You can still come and praise God. You can still sing your song. You can still stand on the door. You can still preach your sermon. Why? Because stuck with God is a good stuff.
A whole lot of y'all been driving yourself crazy because you got issues. You ain't the only one. David said, I acknowledge this. Some of y'all can't even talk to your own cousin. Can't talk to mama. Can't talk to nobody. You walk around here carrying this burden of guilt and shame and self-inflicted imprisonment. You don't even look the same. You done moved so far back, we don't even know if you still belong to the church. You done resigned from everything you can resign from. Why? ain't going to beat it. We're going to die fighting. Yeah, everybody in the room, you're going to die fighting something. And whatever you have done, there is always a residual effect somewhere. That's how we have people who live their whole life, don't even know who their father and mother, cousins and family, because people walk around with secrets. You got children living right down the road and you can't acknowledge because you're shamed and embarrassed, and that child suffers their whole life because your pride won't let you face facts. You ain't gonna beat it. But you don't have to wallow either now. Let me make that clear, because some of y'all are saying, well, that's case, Reverend. No, that ain't what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, you have to realize that even as a promise holder, sometimes you fracture your own promise. You have to say, I did it. I broke this. But what I love about God is God takes fractured promises and fixes them. Because watch this now. Everything that God promised to David, David still got it. See, you sitting around now, you've been hiding and ducking and withdrawing. No, baby. Whatever promise God made you, it's still yours. No, your neighbor said, I need that. Because I had some problems. Listen, David is the same anointed David that when Samuel came to Jesse's house, when the oil was pouring out, God knew that David was going to mess up. When David killed Goliath, God knew that David was going to mess up. When David hid in the cave, God knew that David was going to mess up. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm telling you now that every promise that God has made over your life, God knows you're going to mess up. But thanks be unto God, he's a promise-keeping God. And even when you mess up, God's still going to keep you. So here he is, David trying to help us understand something. And what you need to understand is that all of us are wrestling. And only reason you still alive with your slick self, with your cunning, strategic, and manipulating self, you done drove all the way to Tennessee to hook up. You could have saved gas money, mileage, and hotel fees. Because whatever you're going to do sneaking way over there, the results are the same in the eyes of God right here. You ride around with a Coke can, then pulled all the Coke out, pulled in your little favorite, and you think you're fooling us? When we say, can I have a sip of your cup? No. No germs. You ain't fooling nobody. You walk around here smoking out in the cornfield, then come back with a mouthful of Mementos, and you don't think we can smell smoke? You smell like smoke. Oh, yeah, I was with Shirley them. You know, they smoke. I don't smoke. Your hair smell like smoke. Your clothes smell like smoke. Who you fooling? I'm a Christian. I don't get down like that. Listen, if you knew how other Christians got down, you would save yourself that lie. Look at two neighbors and say, uh-huh, yep. So here it is. He thought he was fine. He wasn't. He thought because he didn't hear nothing, wasn't nobody saying nothing. They were. And he thought that time would heal his wounds. It doesn't. So, Pastor, what is the answer? The answer is, as Paul will tell us, make your confessions to God. There's an old game we used to play when I was a child called hide and go seek. Y'all remember hide and go. Sister, you remember. I see you giving me the nod. Thank you very much. Appreciate your participation in the preaching. But hide and go seek is a strategic game. Because the art of hide and go seek is really not to be found. But then if you're never found, it kind of turns into a lonely predicament. Any of y'all ever played hide and go seek and were not found?
After a while, you do realize they stop looking for you. And you hide, and then you start missing meals. You start missing home. Eventually, you have to come out from where you're hiding. And so it is with God. There are a whole lot of us in the church that are playing hide and go seek. We're pretending that if we hide real good, that God won't find us and that God doesn't know what we've been up to. But I'm here to tell you now, there's an end of the game. When the person that has been looking realizes that, okay, you beat me this time. And so they stand in the middle of the field or in some obvious location and they say, come out wherever you are. And a whole lot of us know that the first time they say it, it's really a trick to get us to expose ourselves. So we don't come out on the first cry. We let them cry a little while longer. Come on and look at a name and say, oh yeah, I see where this is going. Then the second time they say, come out, I give up. You win, come on out from where you are. And you say, well, if this place is that good, I think I'll save it for the next time. So I don't want them to see where I come from. So once they turn their back and start to walk away, then maybe I'll come out. So they start to get frustrated with you. And then they say, okay, I'm telling you, I ain't playing now. You come on out because the game is over. Well, that's where David is when Nathan comes. I hear God saying to somebody, maybe three or four somebody's. All right, I ain't playing now. And the game is over. But if you'll just come out from where you're hiding, all bets are off now. I'm going to receive you unto myself. In fact, Paul reminds us that the real issue is not the fact that I sinned, but the fact that I can't help but sin. Paul said that when I would do good, and I really meant to do well. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I didn't mean to mess up, but I'm getting pretty good at it. Paul said that I've tried my best to be the best Paul I know how. He said, I tried to love folk that didn't love me. I tried to stay out of trouble, but trouble always found me. And I found out that the more I try not to, the more I do, look at somebody and say, that's where I am. The more I try to stay away, the more I find myself creeping. The more I try not to drink, the more I figure out ways to drink creatively. The more I try not to smoke, the more creative I was to smoke. The more I tried not to lie, the better I became at lying. But I thank God for this moment, because the God who loves you is saying, come out, come out, whomever you are, and I will restore you, I will revive you, I will return to you. If you trust in God, God will let you come out, and you can keep on living. You've been living in seclusion. You're scared to sing again. You're scared to usher again. You're scared to pray again. You're scared to come again. But God is saying, I already know, so come on out. Come on and talk to me. Grandma said, just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Aren't you ready to be all right? Aren't you tired of living underneath the shadows? Aren't you tired of living in self-imposed seclusion? Just a little talk with Jesus. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God will. I say God will. Anybody want to be restored? Anybody want to come out? Anybody want to get back your joy? Just lift up your voice, lift up your eyes and say, God, I'm sorry. I tried my best. I failed sometime, But thank you, God. Each day is a new day. Each time you call me, God, I'm going to answer. Each time you lift me, God, I'm going to stand. Each time you forgive me, God, I'm going to bless you. If you just let me live and don't let me die, don't let me fall and stay down, don't let me go back and not return. God, if you'll just lift up your arms, show me the way, turn the light on, call my name, lift up my name, lift up my countenance, lift up my head, gently restore. God, I will. 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 Because I can't beat it. I'm just going to come out and face you just as I am. There's an old song they used to sing in the church that says, just as I am, without. Yeah, that's just confession. Some of y'all sitting there say, oh, well, Reverend, see, if I stand up or lift my hand, they going to know. Can I tell you about church folk? Whatever we don't know, we make it up. Because, you know, a whole lot of us think you too good anyway. We know you can't be all that holy. Come on now. Pastor, I can't let you see me shout on that one. Because you might know, well, I'm shouting. I'm shouting for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said, you know, I'm a promise holder. I'm meant for better things. Yes, you are. But you can't heal without the medicine. You can't get restored without the repentance. And you have to say, Lord, I did it. I mean, I wouldn't tell everybody. Now, there's some people, you just probably shouldn't talk to. Matter of fact, some of y'all sit in the wrong section today. That's why you can't say nothing. You sit around folk, and when you get in the car, they go, well, what was that all about? I mean, I saw you and the Reverend was talking about creeping. You seem to have something to say right long through there. How many of y'all have to deal with that when you get in the car? Yeah. Anybody going to raise their hand now? Like, no. Reverend talking about Hennessy. What you know about Hennessy? True, Hennessy. Have you met Mr. Bacardi? Tangeray. I mean, come on, y'all sitting here like y'all don't know nothing. And people will ask you, that's why you said, no, Reverend preaching one of them sermons, I can't shout on that today. I know I felt you, but I see the look on your face. Mm-hmm. Because you know you're afraid that if you go public, people are going to change their opinion of you. It don't matter what people think of you, to be honest with you. Because they don't have a heaven or hell for you. They don't. I'm done. But let me help you understand. You say, well, Reverend, if I can't beat it, what do I do? Fight. Just keep fighting. Some of us in this room right now are not happy. Because you're trying to live in shadows. You're doing all kinds of things to disguise your faults. You're doing things that you can't even keep up yourself. Just confess. God, this is my problem. This is my struggle right here. Everybody got a struggle. Yes, sir. I see a few heads. Thank you. I appreciate y'all. You need to listen. Don't fool yourself. Christians been falling and getting up since the days of Adam and Eve. All you got to do is look at the history of how God handles people when they fall. God don't chop folk heads off. God don't chop off people's hands. God says, return to me. God says, I still love you. You got people right now that you long for that have left your life because of a fault.
How many ever had people turn on you that you thought would never turn on you? Had people judge you that you never thought would judge you? And you were nice to them when they messed up.
I just can't, after that, I can't get with that.
You're the reason I drink like I do. You're the one who introduced me to smoking weed. So now that you got your life so orderly, you can't help me get mine? And because I fall, you going to leave me? I stuck with you. You ever had that happen to you? You stuck with people in their trials and tribulation. And then when you had one little minor setback,
we threw.
Really? Well, I just tell you what. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God that since you gone, something better coming. Sometimes folk got to get out the way so God can bless you with something better. Amen. I know God will do that. You got to stop fighting by lying and be honest. The Lord, this is hard for me. But I'm going to keep trusting you. And I'm going to wait for my due season. So if you're here today and you've been fighting, and you just can't beat it, and you're not, trust me. All of us that can be honest with you today will tell you that it may not be the same thing you got, but we got something. We all got our little secret decoder ring, you know. Got our handshake and our wink of the eye and all that kind of stuff. You know what I love about God? He don't stop being God. So why are you trying to not be you? He knows you. Let's stand on feet together. We're going to get ready to go. It's a little past the hour of one. It's Communion Sunday. We kind of used to that. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Again, we want to do something nice for all of our mothers. But you know, you ain't happy. You ain't happy. And you're not going to immediately be happy because you try to go cold turkey. But you might as well trust that God knows. And God's going to help you. One of the things David shows us is that if you ask God to restore, he will. If you ask God to revive, he will. God bless you, Sister Walker. If you ask God, he will. Some people ain't going to never let you off the hook. I'm just going to tell you that right now. There are some people that are so hard that when they find out what your fault is, they're going to change up on you. But not God. Here's a God who knows everything about you. And you still breathing. You still alive. Still got your job. Still got all that stuff. And God knows everything. Some of us right now on this 4th day of May got some stuff on our agenda that we know we got to be secretive about and covert. And God ain't going to knock you dead today. You're just going to make a decision how you fight. Gently restore. And what we ultimately want you to understand is don't quit. Don't stop singing in the choir. Don't stop serving God. Don't be sitting home every Sunday looking at your watch. Like, well, by now they get ready to do this. By now they get... Listen, you got to trust God. He already knows. Don't be like David. 9 months. He's suffering. Ain't taking a bath, ain't putting on his garments, ain't going outside. People start to wonder, what's wrong with David? What's wrong with David? And I told you, when folks start missing you, they start making up stuff. How many have been a victim of, you know, I heard? Yeah. You might as well come on. Is there another restoration today? Revival today? Getting back your good feeling today. Just a simple, Lord, I'm sorry. But God,
you help me fight, I'll fight better. You help me run, I'll run better. But I can't keep living in prison. There's too much living to do. There's too much joy to be had. How many want to get your joy back? Yeah, Lord, I just want to be able to shout like I used to and praise like I used to. I want to feel good about coming in and out. I don't want to do the shame walk for the rest of my life. I don't want to walk into a room and because people stop talking, I got to think they're talking about me. I don't want people to hug me like they're scared to break me. I want my joy back. I want to feel good one more game. God will do it. God bless you. God will do it. Yes, he will. God, listen, God is waiting to do it. You done tried everything you know. You know God, don't you? Try Jesus. Just let him restore you. Let him give it back to you. Come on, I know you're here. I feel you. I feel your struggle because I know what it is to struggle. Listen, I don't stand up here like I'm perfect. I stand up here with the same God of restoration and repentance in my life that's in your life. We all have some things that we're fighting. But God is faithful. I said God is faithful. Yes, he is. And you're going to shadow yourself out of here again today. You're going to walk out again today trying to act like, oh, it's good. I mean, I'm, you know, I go up there, they're going to know. I ain't going to ask you nothing. I'm not going to ask you one single solitary question because it's not mine to fix. But if you confess to God, he will. When David finally came clean, he didn't have Bathsheba killed. He didn't banish her from the king. You know, he had to still see her because you do know eventually he moved her close by. And people finally let it go. Listen, when you and God can let it go, people gonna let it go. But as long as you're trying to shadow and dip and die, ain't nobody crazy. We know when you disappear for extended periods of time, you probably up to no good. We say, we want me to ride with you. No, I don't need nobody to ride me. When you come back in the house and run straight to the bathroom and brush your teeth, we know. But God says, if you'll confess with your mouth, if you call me, I'll come. Somebody else needs restoration today. You really need some relief from the torment that you self-inflicted. You're meant for better things. Yes, you. Right where you are, that's where you start. And God will bless you. Creating me a clean heart and renewing me in the right spirit. Give me back my joy. Would you let God do that for you today? You already said you want it. Would you let him do it? Would you come? Our doors are open for Christian discipleship. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you can come and join these and make your crucial decision today about relationship in Christ Jesus. Just come. That's how we all got closer. We just came. Didn't have all the information. Wasn't really sure about everything that was going to happen. But we came. And how many can testify that ever since I came, I'm so glad I did. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Okay. 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 We do that. Can I get some praying folk to come up here with me? I need some praying folk. Sister Walker is here. And I'm going to remember your name. It's coming to me. But come on, I just want you to let them know that they don't stand by themselves. There you go. Amen. Come on. Some of us are in the battle for the sanity of our life. Listen, we about to lose our mind. And all I need is just a closer walk. I just need to know that God is still listening. And if you come and encourage me today, I'm going to be encouraged. How many of you know that the person sitting next to you got stories they could tell? Some of y'all wish you could have told your story. Some of us sit by people and want to say, ooh, if I could just trust you. The stories I could tell. You don't know how hard I fought. But what I love about God is that when you fall, He'll pick you up. When you cry, He'll dry your eyes. When you're hurt, He brings healing. God never comes saying, I knew it. I knew it. What it does say is, I know all about it. I've been waiting for you. You ever had that happen when you try to avoid the confrontation and when you finally come, the person welcomes you and says, listen, you didn't have to go through all that. I understand. Trust me, your neighbors, these people standing around you, they understand. They know what it's like. You don't get to be older without some seasoning. Each victory will help you. Some other to win. Just got to fight. And don't be walking around tonight, I ain't got that problem no more, because the devil can hear. Amen. And that's what Job reminds us of. Job says, that which I feared the most is what got me. Don't be scared of it. Face it. And you can admit that you can't beat everything, but you can keep fighting. Amen. Bible says that Jacob got into the wrestling match of his life. And his only response was, I ain't going to let you go till you bless. He said, I wasn't winning. But I'm not going to let you go. We're going to fight a while. Next time you get into a situation, that's what you tell the devil. Better bring your lunch. We're going to be here a while. You might think you're going to beat me, but I'm going to hold on to this. You're going to bless me before you go. Amen. Again, you can fight, but don't quit. And you may not beat it. That's just the beast of it. And you are no worse than the person standing next to you. Don't you live your life in that prison of shame, disappointment. Get over yourself sometime. Sometimes you got to just get over yourself. You ain't the first deacon that messed up. Not first choir folk, first preacher. Man, the line is long, and there's some bigger names than yours on that list. Get on back to church. Get on back to doing what you do. And if folk won't release you, remind them, you were never the one that held me. God is my keeper. Amen. So as we pray together, again, don't forget next Sunday, Mother's Day, bring them flowers. And let's honor Mom, and let's have great memories and celebrate. But always remember this. Your best moment could very well be your next moment. Don't quit on yourself. Don't give up. Don't lay down. Don't resign. Don't stop coming. You're still living. As long as you got breath in your body, you got one heck of a chance for something wonderful to happen. Amen. That's why we read about David and get excited. Because it's what God does after the fall that makes us heroes. Yeah. When Abraham lied, he kept on living. Whenever you find yourself in a situation, it's what happens after the fall that makes you a hero. Because how you get up is the real story. Nudge your neighbor and say, you can bounce back. Amen. All of us got a little weeble in us. And we wobble what we don't go down. Amen. Grab somebody's hand or lift up your hands, however you feel led to go. Thank you, sisters, for coming. Thank you for leading the rest of us to a place that we can be comfortable enough to come out to. Sometimes we look to see who goes before us before we go after them. Just take somebody to break the pathway for us. Amen. God, our Father, we thank you for these two young ladies and for those who accompanied them as the first line of revelation to come out and say, Lord, I need your help because I can't help myself. Lord, I've been hiding and I need to stop hiding. I've been feeling sorry for myself because other people testified that they stopped instantly and never had a problem again, and they lived the rest of their lives in this glorious state. But Lord, it didn't happen like that for me. And I was starting to wonder, Lord, if there was something wrong with me. I was starting to wonder, maybe I wasn't saved. Maybe I missed something because I still got issues. I've tried to sing, I've tried to pray, I've meditated, I've anointed myself with oil, but God, I'm still in a struggle. So I was just kind of wondering, Lord, if you would just remind me that you still love me, that you still hear me, that you still have those wonderful plans for me, and that I am going to fulfill my destiny. Because, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be a better Christian. Not only in my heart, but in my whole life. And God, that's why I keep coming. I mean, I come sometimes kind of toe up, and I come sometimes feeling a little out of sorts, but I'm not going to quit coming. I need you. Every hour, I need you. And God, if you'll just let me draw in, I won't go out. If you'll pick me up, God, I promise to stand as long as I can stand. But I need your help. Because I thought I was doing all right. I really did. I thought I was doing fine. But I found out, God, that that monkey won't get off my back. I found out, Lord, that sometimes my friends who mean me well are a little more of a temptation than I had imagined. I discovered that time didn't fix it for me. I still need more time. So God, I'm standing here today and I'm confessing with my mouth that I need you. And only you, God, can make it right. Lord, you fixed David and you let David go on, and I want to go on too. You kept on blessing him and I want to stay blessed too. You didn't beat him up. You didn't cast him away. I want that too. And because you're no respecter of persons and you treat all of us with the same loving compassion, give all of us grace and mercy. I want that too. So God, I want my head lifted up. I want my joy back. I want to dance again. I want to shout again. I want to sing praises again. I want to feel good about me again. And they say, can't nobody do it like you. So thy will be done in my life. And God, I'll be a great witness, a greater witness, because I'll tell others of your saving grace, of your mercy. I yet remain alive because you gave me life. And I bless you, Lord. Put your arms around this people, from the youngest to the eldest, from the nearest to the furthest. They will know that there is a God. There is a balm in Gilead. There's a healing leaf on God's tree. It's got my name on it. I thank you, God, today. I'm going to be better now. My bitterness is going away, and I feel my joy coming back. And I thank you. In the name of Jesus. And the children of God said, amen, amen, and amen. Hug at least 4 or 5 people and tell them, be encouraged. Be encouraged.